Welcome to the Valleybrook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Practicing the Way. This series is an 8-session primer on spiritual formation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." But what does it mean for us to follow Jesus today? Practicing the Way is an on-ramp to spiritual formation, exploring what it means to follow Jesus and laying the foundation for a life of apprenticeship to him. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
So good morning, everybody. Morning, church. Happy Sunday. It's great to see everybody. If I haven't met you, my name is Brian Rooney. I'm on the pastoral staff here, and it is my honor to be able to speak with you this morning. I just want to say before we even get started, I want to just thank you for giving me some of your time, for lending me your ears and your attention this morning. Something that I've realized in my clinical practice and now being in this kind of job is that very few people in America get listened to very much. Everybody is speaking, but there are very few people that get heard. Everyone's got a podcast, everyone's got a show, everyone's got a, you know, is hosting something, and very few people get to be listened to. And funny enough, we live in a time when we get to pick who we listen to. You know, you get to, you know, hone in on particular media stations or radio stations or follow different accounts. And so for you to hear the voice of someone you don't want to listen to, it's actually very rare, and it's usually the worst kind of cases. And so, you know, in a time when you don't usually listen to people that you don't want to listen to, I want to just make sure I acknowledge that you guys are offering me your ears this morning and your attention, because it is really an honor, because you don't actually have to. So I appreciate this very much. And so I want to give this time to God fully because of the honor that you are giving me. So I just want to start off by thanking you for that. So we're together as a community, we're focusing for these next few weeks and the last past couple weeks, we've been focusing all of our teaching series, our videos, our community conversations, our group conversations to a series called Practicing the Way. And if you haven't heard about them, they're a ministry that is dedicated to people, to helping people practice the way of Jesus. Practicing the way, the statement "the way" is actually what early Christians called themselves before the term Christian was coined. So they said, "Oh, I'm a follower of the way. I'm practicing the way of Jesus." So that's actually like one of the first terms for Christians was followers of the way. And so last week, our worship leader, Pat, began the conversation about formation. You know, just for you, if you weren't here last week or just need a little bit of a recap, formation is something that happens to us whether we choose it or not. Formation is something that is continually, even now, happening to us actively in this moment. It's not something that some people choose to do and others not to do, and no one is fully formed, but through our conversations, through our what we listen to, we are continually learning, unlearning, experiencing, thinking, rehearsing tons of things over and over and over. And while individually, they're very small things, but over the course of time, they add up and they shift us into a totally different direction and mold us into something very different. I like to, you know, I'm giving a plug to early ed teachers here. It's very similar to our early education. You may not remember all of the lessons or the games or the coloring books or the stories that you were, you know, read to or the ones that you read, but all of them slowly over time began to form you into someone who can think and act like an adult. So you see that formation. So all of the incidences that you have, all the recess games you play and the conversations you have, practicing your words and learning new words together, all of the sports games you play where you are falling and slipping and the bruises you get on your arms, all of the interactions you have, all the stories, they are building you and forming you slowly. And so Pat last week gave us a wonderful example. I had never heard about it before. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was like, this is so cool, about unintentional formation. He gave us an example of a fish in water slowly starting to acknowledge the water that's around him and starting to be aware of it. And he also gave us this challenge to try to be aware of what is around us, what's forming us, what are we moving through. He also gave it as, he spun it a different way as well, kind of like a tree rooting into different things. And he asked us the question, what are you rooting into? What are you connecting to? And his challenge to us was to try to think about what we are rooting into, what we have been formed by, and what's going on around us. And so if you haven't done that or you weren't here last week, I want to invite you just for a moment now to try to think of a few. What's forming you? Is it the stress of your job? Is it what you're listening to each and every day? Is it the arguments that you have in your mind, hoping to one day win? I do that a lot. So, remember again that formation is not something that we choose to do or choose not to do. It is something that is happening to us. The choice is not, am I forming? It's, what do I want to form into? And I think one of the things that he really was trying to push, and something that I'm going to reiterate here and Clark has done constantly, is try to direct us to that you don't have a choice whether you form or not to form, but you have a choice of, do you want to be formed by the flow, or are you going to choose what you flow into or what flows into you? Because there is a choice, and we want to make sure you have that and you know that. So the first step, as Pat offered to us and he invited to us, is to try to be aware of what is actively forming us. Because in order to choose what we want to form into, we have to see what's around us. Because if something is forming us and it's not to what we were, where we want to go, we have to get rid of that. We have to kind of shift away from this to say, that's not forming me into what I want to form into. So you have to acknowledge what's around you first. So I want to take this time, I think this is a perfect time, to turn to Jesus' ministry and turn to the scriptures, because Jesus said something, of course, always, we always do this. We always go, Jesus said something great about this. And you're like, oh, really? I've heard that every other Sunday, because he always usually says something really great about everything. So Jesus, we're turning to the account in Luke's gospel. We're turning to the Sermon on the Mount. If you've been around church a while, you've probably heard of the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' famous sermon. And also, just by the way, if you're new and you don't know, like when we say we're quoting from a certain book and we just give a random person's name, in the scriptures, oftentimes what we've done when we've collected all of these different letters or accounts of ministry, we organize them and usually name them by a few different things. It's either usually by the person who wrote it, the people that it's written to, or what it's written about. And so you get, you know, books and accounts called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are written by those people. And then you get, you know, letters called Thessalonians, Corinthians, Ephesians. Those are written to Thessalonica, Ephesus, to, you know, Corinth, different places. And then you have some called like Exodus, Genesis, you know, those are about something. So just to give you a little bit of context, if you're newer and you're like, what are all these mean? Who are these people? It's like, those are the authors or maybe what they're about. And so we're turning to Luke's gospel. This is the account of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus is giving his famous sermon. Now, if you've been around church before, you've had multiple sermons given to you before. Sermons are usually made, they're not usually for everybody. What they have is they're a very particular set and style of public speaking. And they're usually used most often to remind and to rejuvenate or to correct a very certain group of people back to where they wanted to be or where they hoped to be. And so Jesus at this time is giving a sermon to the Hebrews of that day to remind them of who they are, to remind them of what they've been called to do, what they're striving to do. And what they're striving to do, if you haven't noticed, if you didn't pick this up before or no one's ever told you, God made a promise to a family many, many, many years ago. And he made a covenant promise to them. And he said, I am going to bless the entire world through your family line. And so by the time of Jesus, that family line has grown, has spread out, has gone through a lot of different trials. And they've been formed by things around them unintentionally. And Jesus is noticing that formation. He's noticing where they've been kind of been formed by and what's been has been involved in where they were supposed to be. So what he's trying to do is reorder them back to where they're supposed to be. And so for us, when we hear sermons that help us to go, hey, as God's people, what are we supposed to do? We can almost place ourselves in such a position to remember that this is God directing us where we're supposed to go. Jesus is trying to direct them. And so here, as he looks to these people, and I just want to let you know this, they were trying so hard to be what God had asked them to be. It was their whole identity as a people group that marked them from every other person on the planet. They knew this was our job as a people. This was our whole community identity. And so they were trying, but they had been formed by the government of their time, by the values of other nations involved and pushing them and stressing them, and lots of different things had shifted them slightly off course. And so God is trying to bring them back. And of all the things that he reminds them, as he reminds them a ton, because it's very, very long, but there's one thing I want to hone in on here. This is in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, he's also said this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into a pit? Likewise, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Again, he's helping kind of guide them, and he's giving this little parable here to help them think a little bit about what he's saying. And when I read this, I think, can someone lead somebody if they don't know where they're going? It would be exactly if a blind person is trying to lead another blind person. They don't know where they're going. So how can they possibly lead? Can someone who has not been fully trained guide and train and teach other people? They can try, but do they know where they're going? Do they know how to do this? And so what caught my eye when I read this is it's not only just the what that they're supposed to do, but the how. The how is just as important, if not sometimes more important than the what. The what is, all right, this is what I got to do, but how do I get there? If I'm blind, I don't know how I'm going to get there. So Jesus is pointing to, it's not just the what that we are called to do, but how we're called to do it and how we're being trained to do it. When I read this, I laughed a little bit to myself, because how many other areas in life have we been like, asked to do something, but never really told how to, and yet are expected to still kind of act as if and like function as if we were told to. If you're not with me on this, I just want to ask you a question. So I would assume that many of you have friends, right? I would hope so. If you say no, we'll talk after. But how many of you went to a class on how to make friends? Did anyone teach you? No one taught you how to make friends. Maybe they did. Maybe dad or mom gave you a little piece of advice. But have we ever gone to social friendships 101? What about how to think politically? Ooh, I ruffled some feathers with that one. Ooh. A lot of us hear a lot of content, but have we ever been told how to think through it or how to think politically? And yet we're asked to do so. I just had a meeting a couple weeks ago with our guest services team, the team that greets everybody when they come in, and we were talking together and kind of lining together about like how we're encouraging to invite people even when they're already coming to church and how we can do that together. And we laughed a little bit as a team because we realized that has anyone ever actually taught us how to invite people or how to greet people? You just kind of pick it up as you go, oh, hey, good morning, and then, it's like, then they go in. You're like, no one's ever kind of taught us how to do that. So if you had a weird interaction with one of our guest services people, it's probably me. Thank you for your grace. We are trying. We're learning. It's mainly me. So we've adopted strategies for a lot of different things in life. And so I think it's very important to just point out here, did anyone ever tell us, sit us down and say, how to be the light of the world? How to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus calls us to be. Whereas one other church leader says, the church is not merely a gathering for its own members, but a body of people who are actively reaching out and dedicated to serving the needs of those outside of their immediate community. Has anyone ever told us how to do that? Specifically, I think it's important. And one of the things that John Mark Comer, who's the leader of this kind of ministry that we're looking into right now, one of the things that he, as well as many other church leaders, point out is the issue with a lot of us kind of getting the results that we want to get to has nothing to do with our desire. It's usually not our desire to want to be like Jesus or our desire to want to allow him to form us. It's not that. It's usually the how. Is that many of us haven't been taught how. We have the desire, but we have this kind of like, I'm not getting anywhere. I've been doing this for so many years, and I don't really know where to go with this. Is it really taking me somewhere I want to be? I don't know if you guys know this too. None of the disciples in the Bible were ever just handpicked and ready to go right when they were handpicked. It took Apostle Paul years after having his encounter with Jesus of training and rehearsing and connecting with the other disciples before he went out on his missions and also wrote some of the wonderful letters that we have and have collected into our New Testament. It took the disciples 3 years having Jesus himself as their mentor. So this is just the way my brain works. If Jesus was who he said that he was, God himself on earth. That means that if God himself on earth was your personal mentor, it still might take you 3 years to figure it out. That tells you how far off we've gone. So let's talk how. Anytime you try to learn a new skill, whether how to cook, how to fight, how to counsel, how to diet, how to lift heavy things, you start off by having to first unlearn what you had learned all the way up to that point and relearn a new normal. This is why when you start anything, I used to do martial arts and they just taught us the standard punch for like months. I was like, why? And they're because you don't know how to punch correctly. So we have to train you up. When I did lifting, they told me constantly, lift a small amount of weight a dozen times. Why? Because they were trying to shape how I did it, so that way when I lifted the heavy stuff, I didn't hurt myself. In everything, you have to unlearn what you had learned and replace it with something new. It's the same way, honestly, with therapy or working with people with addiction. If you want to feel and behave differently, you have to rewire your brain to respond and feel differently in that moment. You have to pattern your brain to function differently. So when that crushing feeling comes in, when that situation comes in that has been destroying you every single time that you give in to every single time, that you have rewired the way your brain thinks and feels so that when you come up to that, you actually perform differently. So in a way, you're patterning your mind and shifting it, which is funny because the Apostle Paul says it's the renewing of your mind. It's very similar. It's almost the same thing, which is funny because that is our kind of view of discipleship here at Valley Brook, is literally patterning your life after Jesus so that eventually you just do as he did. It's just coming out of you all the time. And it's just like driving and you're on autopilot. You're just like, oh, I just gave to that person. Oh man, I just like fasted that day, or oh my goodness, I just cared for the neighbors around me. It's just happening, and you're like, oh, and it's the end of the day now. So, what is it that we need to unlearn then? I would say I have a few things that there could be. I'd say the first thing, and at least the thing that I think is most important, is what's our goal? Because I know a lot of people that have. They might have a good goal or a good sounding goal, but their strategy doesn't fit it, or they might have a weird goal but a good strategy and they don't line up. So I'll tell you a little bit about me, and this is a little embarrassing, but that's fun. I get to do that when I'm up here. So I'm a huge Marvel guy. I'm a big Marvel nerd. I grew up with the comic books. I grew up with all the action figures. I have to hide them when people come over. Like, I love that stuff. I have a Thor hammer in my like office. It's like 30 or 40 pounds, so I like to pretend that other people aren't worthy to pick it up and that I am only. But like what, so when the whole like Thanos and Iron Man stuff came out, I was the first one in line for these movies, like at like 11:59. And I'm like, I'm ready. Like I was so ready for all of them. And you know, what's funny is when I watched these movies, I loved the way that these heroes looked, because they just like, they were all so like, you know, big and muscular and good looking. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And embarrassingly, that was why I started working out, is I would see pictures of these people and I was like, I want to look like this. And so I took it to the next level. So this is not a joke. I'm not kidding. And I have to say that because I make a lot of jokes. This is not one. I would go to the gyms and I had this picture on my phone and I would show the trainers, three different trainers. I showed them this picture and I said, I'd like to look like this. And they laughed at me in my face. They were like, you've got to be kidding. Now, in reality, I probably looked a little bit more like this one at the time. So, which is funny. So I can imagine they probably were laughing at me, which is funny. I look at this now and I'm like, yeah, that's the look. But why is that funny? Didn't I have a good goal? It sounds like the right goal. You know, I want to look physically fit. I want to look good. I want to diet. I want to exercise. It sounds like the right goal. I don't think they thought it was the best goal. So here's a tough point. Think about your goal in coming to church, in following Jesus. This is hard for me to say, but I have to. If your goal in coming to church is to just be a good boy or a good girl enough so that eventually God loves you enough that you don't make it into the bad place, I don't think that's the best goal. I'd like to, you know, Jesus never said they will know that they are my disciples by the way they ruthlessly attempt to avoid hell. Can I offer you a better goal, if possible? Can I offer you a picture of a better goal? Can you throw this up? I had that timing perfect. It was so ready. This is going to be weird. What do I do now? I haven't written anything in between here. I can juggle. I found, you know, can I? It's coming. Okay. Did you? Oh. Did it not work? Was it not like clear on the picture? Was it blurry? Whatever. All right, that was the sound. I don't know what to do here. Thank you for your grace in just letting me kind of sit here awkwardly until this comes up. Oh. How's that for a goal? You know, Jesus believed that to be glory. There's something so special about that. That is the absolute perfect image, the most clear image of God in this world. What if that was our goal? What if an act of such selfless love and selfless generosity was our goal? What if our whole goal in life was to be like he was, in like that? Giving so generously, giving so lovingly, without care for himself, because he loved people that much. Can I offer you that goal? I think that's a pretty good goal. A goal like that changed the world. That's part of our mission statement here, is hoping to change the world. So I think it's a pretty good goal for that. So we have a goal now. What's the strategy? Well, a ton of Christians I know, and myself included, when I grew up kind of hearing a lot of this, is usually they give you three things. It's usually pray, read the Bible, give. Pray, read the Bible, give. Pray, read the Bible, give. And it's usually, those three things are usually done by three other things, by either a desire for stronger willpower, a desire that God will zap you and just make it happen immediately, or just more Bible study. Again, I don't think that's the best strategy. And not that those are bad things, because they're not. They're actually in what I would agree is a part of the whole journey. However, I've done a lot of workout routines, but lifting just three things oddly, randomly, just kind of together and hoping it'll build you into someone like that, it's not part of the whole routine. You'd grow uplong and weird. So we want to offer you the full training regime to be trained up. If we have the next one, I don't know if we have the next picture. Now I'm really skeptical if they're going to work. Okay, good. All right. So here's our training regime. We have community. We have teachings. And we have the practices. This comes straight from practicing the way, and we would agree with this very highly as we think this is incredibly beneficial. As you're trying to become more like Christ, hearing the teachings of Christ will shape what comes in and out of your mind. Practicing the things that he practiced, doing the things that he did, shapes you. And spending time with other Christians, other practicers of the way who are dedicated to that same mission helps form you. And all three of these things together, held together by the Spirit of God who is personal and reaches every single crevice of our hearts. This is what we believe is the best training regime for it. Teachings, community, and practices. If you do these things over time and through suffering, and I'll get to that in a second, that will shape you. The reason we say through suffering is because, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this. When suffering happens, all of your walls fall down. And it provides room for God to come in and be with you and fill up that space. Do not try to push away the impact that God can have in your heart through suffering. This is why he offered it and openly went into situations like that. And he changed the world. Community, teachings, and practices. We believe that if you move into those three areas and you are involved in all three of those, with the Holy Spirit connecting all those together, that you will be molded into the image of God. This wasn't on my agenda, but I wanted to tell you a story that I just thought of. I love this. There was a missionary who went over to China at one point, and this was back when China, like a good portion of it, did not have many Christians. Now it's very different. There are a lot of Christians in China, but at the time, there weren't that many. And as this missionary came in, started to talk about Jesus and started to teach about Jesus' ministry, there was one random guy in the back who went, "Oh yeah, he used to live here." He went, "What?" Like, "No, okay, no, all right, there's always one odd guy in the group." So he keeps teaching more about the things that Jesus had done and teaches that he was a healer. And another woman goes, "Oh, I knew him. He lived here." I went, "What in the world are you talking about? No, this was thousands of years ago. What are you doing?" Then he continued to speak, and he talked about how he died. And then like four or five people went, "Nope, he lived here. We all knew him." It's like, what's going on? And a gentleman pulled him aside and said, "Let me take you across. Let me go show you something." And he walked him outside after the service was done over to a gravestone. And he said, "This person here who died here was a missionary who came over, and he was a doctor. And he lived with them, taught with them, ate with them, and healed them, and actually died for being a Christian." And it's funny because the people, literally upon hearing who Jesus was, upon having this interaction with this person, upon hearing the works of Jesus, was like, "We met him. He was here." Almost line them up as like you saw Jesus so much in him that they almost like confused this person with him. It's not that far-reaching for these things to shape a life and for God to live out through you. It can happen almost to the point that people may not even recognize you as you and see Jesus all over you. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. I want to thank you again for giving me some time to be able to speak with you. It's an honor to be able to do that. It is such an honor to be able to follow Jesus with our lives. It is an honor to be given such a mission that he gave us to do. And so we want to make sure that we do our due diligence in being able to walk with you and help you to do that, if that is your desire as well. If that is not your current goal, your mission in life, we want to invite you to follow him with us. It is one of the greatest things in life, if not the greatest thing that has ever happened to us, is that honor. So I'm going to pray. We're going to go into worship. Dear Lord, thank you for coming and dying for us. Thank you for giving us a picture of what God looks like. Thank you for that goal. Lord, we pray that as we begin to adopt this new training regime, this new how to become more like you and to be the people that you have called us to be, Lord, I ask that you work within our hearts in all of those areas. Lord, it would be useless without you, but because of your grace, as we attempt and fail, you give us that grace and mercy and compassion and love that you have given the whole world. So thank you for the honor of that, Lord. We ask that as we dedicate our lives to you, that we can also dedicate our training to you and our formation to you. Lord, be with us, guide us so that our good works can bring glory to our Father in heaven. In your name we pray, amen.